The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor again, to the left and to the right. So this morning, we are looking at the rain, part one. Are you ready? Ask your neighbor, are you ready? 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, 41 and 43. 1 Kings 18, 41 and 43. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty windstorm coming. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. So go and get something eating. And go and get something drinking. Go and rejoice. Go, Ahab. Verse 43. Go. Now, speaking to his servant. Go and look towards the sea. He told his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. Go back. Go back. The seventh time, verse 44, the servant came back and said, I saw a small cloud the size of a man's fist that was coming in from the sea. Elijah told his servant, go tell Ahab to get his chariots ready and go home now. If he doesn't leave now, the rain will stop him. I pray that the rain will not stop you. The rain will not be a hindrance to you. The rain will not be a problem to you. In the name of Jesus. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. There are a couple of things that jumped out at us from this passage of scripture. And I'm praying today that God will breathe his word upon us in the name of Jesus. The first is this. Elijah said to his servant, go and look. Go and look. Now, what's going on here? Elijah was saying to the servant, go and look. If you are going to look, if you are going to check, you are building anticipation. You are building expectation. So, yes, the rain has been declared, but you need to go and look. You need to go and look. You need to go and actually be expectant and check and look. Now, the connection is that many times when God is doing something or God wants to do something, we are not expectant. And expectation is so powerful that God needs us to go and look, to go and build anticipation. In fact, man from time has been looking forward to rain. Man usually would expect rain. In fact, did you know that man has the capacity to smell rain? We can smell rain. I mean, many of us know the smell. You know that smell of rain. Did you know that that scent of rain has a name? It's called petrichor. Petrichor. That's the smell of when it's just about to rain. There's a scent, at least in where you are. But scientists say to us that it is the scent of earth. It's called petrichor. So that smell of rain is from people that are anticipating rain. When we are just before it rains, there's that anticipation, and it heightens our expectation, our senses, and we can actually smell rain. Can you smell the rain? Can you smell the rain? Ask your neighbor, can you smell the rain? So anticipation is a big part of the process. Go and look. Go and look. Petrichor is here. Can you smell it? That moment before a rain event, they say, an earthy, pleasant smell known as petrichor does permeate the air. So we see a couple of senses at play here, interwoven together. Spiritual senses, physical senses, hearing, seeing, smelling. When it comes to rain, it all starts with hearing. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Then, go and see. Then, the smell. And God expects us that we build anticipation, that we are anticipating His rain. Psalm 123 from verse 1. Psalm 123 verse 1 and 2 says, I lift my eyes to you, O Lord, enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord our God. Why? For His mercy. So it's just as the servant keep his eyes on the master, as a slave watches her mistress for the slightest signal. I was saying the slightest signal. We are looking at God for the lightest signal, for the petrichor, for the sound, for the sight of rain. We are expectant. God is saying concerning that situation, go back and look. Go and look. I know many times we get disappointed and discouraged. I mean, it's easy. This man has been going and coming and going and looking and coming and not seeing anything. Looking and coming. And yet, God is saying, go and look. Go and look. Check your email. Go and look. That offer is there. Go and look. You check, you say, but pastor, it's not there. Go back and look. Go and look. Go the test. You trust in God for a child. Take the pregnancy test. Go and check. Say, so, but Pastor, I don't want to check. I don't want to put myself under pressure. Go and check. God is saying, go and check. Go and look. You've trusted God for a healing. You believe that you have received it. And you know you've received it. And you are walking in it. But God is saying, go and look. Go and look. Get a medical opinion. Get a second opinion. Go and look. You know, Christians will say, but Pastor, I don't want to look. I don't want anything to affect my faith. Faith is not affected by confirming and expecting what God wants to do. So go and look. Go check. You say, well, I've submitted the proposal for a while. You know, I've been calling. They haven't responded. Go and check. Go and call. Call again. So that's the first thing that jumps out at us. And I'm praying that as you look, you will see. As you step out in expectation, you will smell the sound of that rain. You will smell the petrichor. You will like, it's here. The rain is here. So that's the first thing that jumps out at us. The second thing is that Elijah was specific. Elijah did not just say, go and look under the rock. Go and look under the bed. Elijah said, look towards the sea. And it's so powerful. So powerful. Many times, the reason we are not seeing what God is doing is because we are looking towards the wrong direction. Beginning from today, you will look towards the right direction in the name of Jesus. Look towards the sea. Don't look towards the south. Don't look towards the west. Don't look towards any other direction. Look towards the sea. And what's at play here is, you know, many times people think that working with God is at variance with science. It isn't. It isn't. In fact, science is actually the discovery of what God has already created. That's what science is. So it is a discovery. Science, major breakthroughs in tech, is usually simulated or modeled after something in creation. The computer was modeled after the human being. The input devices, the output devices. You can see, you can hear, you know, then you can talk, you give feedback. That was how the computer was modeled. The big buzz right now is AI, you know, artificial intelligence. And the breakthrough in AI is because the brain of man, the neural networks, were modeled after how the brain works, the synapses, the connections. And so that building of the deep neural network was modeled after the human brain. And that is why the breakthrough happened. So we see that, in fact, you know, we haven't even scratched the surface. We are still trying to understand the brain. But the little we have understood, see what has happened in humanity. God wants us to understand how he works. God wants us to have reason to our faith. And it is key because Elijah said, looked towards the sea. He was a prophet, but he understood the science behind the anticipation. There's a science behind the anticipation. There's a science behind the prophetic. So in this case, he said, go and look towards the sea. How did he know towards the sea? Because he understood the science of water cycle, you know. So we see that the water goes by evaporation. Then from the sea it's evaporated. Then there's transpiration from the plants and the earth and all that. Then there's condensation. Then there is what? Precipitation. So Elijah was saying the condensation as it gathered, as condensation been thick enough to trigger precipitation. That was what Elijah was saying. Look towards the sea. There's a science to the anticipation. We're not just saying build anticipation on nothing. There's method to this madness, if you will. You know, there's method to the madness of faith. God wants us to understand that the spiritual is not at variance with the practical. The spiritual is not at variance with the practical. Moses was on the mountain lifting up his hands in the battle against Amalek. Joshua was in the valley getting the victory. And the Bible says that when Moses' hand was tired and it was coming down, Joshua was losing the battle. Israel was losing the battle. But when Moses' hand was up, Joshua was winning the battle. Joshua was winning the battle. So the spiritual and the practical are not at variance at all. So we need to learn to know where to face in the spirit. And we need to learn to know where to look in the physical. We need to learn to know where to face in the spirit. We need to learn to know where to look in the physical. Now, in the case of Ezekiah, the prophet said to him, put your house in order, because your time has come. Ezekiah faced the wall. He faced the wall. And he changed the physical. Elijah proclaimed, there's a sound of abundance of rain. But Elijah buried his head and faced the supernatural. Then the rain came. Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I know you always hear me. He prayed. He faced the spiritual. Then he looked at the grave and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, what we should learn here is that we need to learn how to face the spiritual, and we need to learn where to look in the physical. Look to the sea. Look to the sea. Hallelujah. The third thing that stood out for us here in this world is, what do you see? Go. Look towards the sea. What do you see? What do you see? The rain is upon us. It has been declared. What do you see? Because it is so, so powerful. Sight. It's so powerful. Verse 44, it says, The seventh time, the servant came back and said, I saw a small cloud the size of a man's fist that was coming from the sea. The condensation is small, man of God. It's small. But I see it. And it's coming down. Now, what do you see? Two main things could have happened. This man could have missed it. This man could have missed it. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will not miss your signal. You will not miss your signal. The scripture we read says that the slave girl looks to her mistress for the slightest signal. For the slightest signal. There have been signals at this time. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? You will not miss it in the name of Jesus. You will not miss the signals that will trigger your reign in the name of Jesus. He says, and he said, I saw a small cloud. There's some form of condensation. Small cloud is gathered. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It is possible, it's easy to be missed because it's small. I mean, missed in the sense that it may not even see it. A lot of people are missing their signal. Why? Because it's a slight signal. The signaling, so it signals us, that's why they are called signals. Signals are you know, slight in a way. They are pseudocodes. They are. But you have to see it and not miss it. I pray for you that you will not miss it in the name of Jesus. So many people don't see because they miss it. Now, if you look at it naturally, you know, can you really blame him if he missed it? This guy has been going seven times. He's looking. I mean, you're looking towards the sea. If you actually see a cloud towards the sea, is that out of place? Think about it. But he was so sensitive. Credit to this servant. He was so attentive. He was so focused. You have to be sensitive. You have to be attentive. You have to be focused. That even though it's the seventh time, even though you have come over and over and over, you will see accurately in the name of Jesus. Many people are not seeing the slightest signal of their life partner. I pray that you will see that signal of your life partner in the mighty name of Jesus. You will see it. There's a signal that you will see and you will know that it's this person and you will move in that direction. It's actually not difficult. It's actually not hard. I mean, particularly talking to young men. They're like, oh, pastor, you know, I mean, you're doing well. Yeah, you know, okay, you're not a billionaire yet. You will be in Jesus' name. But, I mean, make a move. But I've not seen the right person. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus. Because the right person mostly is just there. You will not miss it. Many people miss the slight signals in their children. Your child is giving you a signal. You will not miss it. In the name of Jesus. Many children have become all sorts of things because parents miss the signal. There is always a signal. There's a signal. The child is giving you a sign. Don't miss it. For some, it's your spouse. There's a signal. There's a sign. It's a slight signal. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. For some of us, it's at work, your business. There's a signal. It's just a slight signal, but you can see it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. The second reason people don't see, the first is that they miss it. They miss it completely. They miss it. They don't see it. The second reason is they dismiss it. They dismiss it. It's too small. So they dismiss it. Oh, it doesn't look like Prince Charming. So they dismiss it. It doesn't look, this one doesn't, you know. They dismiss it. They dismiss it. You will not dismiss your destiny in the name of Jesus. The things that pertain to your reign, you will not dismiss in the name of Jesus. The instructions that pertain to your promotion, you will not dismiss in the name of Jesus. Not that they don't see, they actually don't miss it, but they dismiss it. They dismiss it. They dismiss it. And you may be here. It's not that people have not seen you. They've dismissed you. They are in for a shocker. Everybody that has dismissed you will come to you for help in the name of Jesus. They dismissed it. They dismissed Jesus. They dismissed him. They dismissed David. They dismissed him. They dismissed Joseph. They dismissed him. But guess what? Guess what? The stone that the builders dismissed has become the cornerstone. The stone that the builders dismissed will become the cornerstone. That will be your story in the name of Jesus. They dismissed you, but they are coming to get help from you in the name of Jesus. And of course, help them, because you are like your father. He causes his rain to fall on everybody. To fall on everybody. So people dismiss. You don't dismiss the slightest signals. Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. You see it, don't dismiss it. You see a trait. It's a slight trait. Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. And so people dismiss things because they think it's too small. This servant could have said, just it of a man's fist, cloud like a man's fist. How small is that? In the scheme of things, how small is the man's fist? In fact, it says a small cloud, the size of a man's fist. So people dismiss things because it's small. People dismiss things because of preference. They don't like it. They don't like it. We are asking for big rain. God is a small cloud. What do we want to do with small cloud? Elijah said, you've seen small cloud. Run, run, run. Tell him, let's go. Everybody, begin to run. Because of small cloud, Abba, prophet, Abba, you have been fasting and praying for thunderstorm, for everything to come down, to pour. You have seen a small cloud, and you are so excited. Listen, listen, listen. If you don't move when you see the small cloud, the rain will stop you. If you don't move when you see the small cloud, you will not benefit from the rain. That's how it is. You know, so he said to him, run, tell him to go now, to go now. Because if you don't move, they've announced that you, it's upon us. You're still not moving. Now the clouds have come. It's small. We are looking at it. You're like, the reason people don't benefit from seasons like this is they don't move when, quote unquote, the cloud is small. They don't move. The things that are laid upon your heart to do in preparation for this rain, they don't do it. Because the cloud is small. You will not be like that. You will be wise. You will get up and you will take action so that you maximize the rain. So they dismiss because it's too small. They dismiss because of preferences. They don't like it. Then guess what? They dismiss because sometimes of discontent. People dismiss because of discontent. This guy could have dismissed the cloud, the small cloud, like the man's fist, because he probably saw it, could have seen it, but it was, if he was discontent, if he was grumbling, why mind you one that is going up and down, that is looking for cloud, that is looking for what is not missing? Why am I the one? Why am I the one that is, you've told the king to go and eat and drink and enjoy himself. You are sitting there on top of the rock. You are putting your head on your lap. Maybe you are even sleeping. Nobody knows. Claiming to be praying, proving that you are praying. I'm the one that will be going up and down like a yo-yo. People dismiss things because of discontent. But if you understand that the position God has put you in is a position for your good, you won't be discontent. Why? Joshua could have been discontent at the valley, fighting, war. People were coming for his head with swords. He was dodging, fighting. It was bloody. Joshua could have said, Moses, you just sat up there, putting your hands up as pretending to be worshiping. Who cannot do that? Me too, I can do that now. I can put my hand up and be pretending to be worshiping. Why am I the one dealing with all this mess? Sometimes people don't realize that what Moses is doing on the mountain is what determine the victory you are getting on the valley. People disdain. I've heard people say all sorts of crap about things they don't understand. Don't be quick to judge. Don't be quick. I was with a friend of mine years and years ago. This one is decades ago, actually, in Austin, Texas. So I was just hanging out with him. We're driving from Austin to San Antonio, and over 20 years ago, definitely, about 20 years ago more. And he was complaining about his pastor. And I was listening, and he was complaining about his pastor. What was the issue? What he said, even though I don't remember the details of what the issue he had was, but what he said was that, he said it in Yoruba, and I will interpret it. It says, "Tani o mo bo se fe ran senu to disappear." In other words, you are playing a trick to a small child. You are saying, "Put your meat in my mouth. I will do magic, and the meat will disappear." So the child puts his meat in your mouth, and the meat is gone. Magic! Clap, 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 clap. So he was saying that his pastor is not doing anything. He is the one doing all the work here. Who can't sit back? And I had to say to him that, hey, guy, calm down. And I explained to him. He never saw it. Like Joshua, you are in the one facing the man is there. If his hand comes down, you are losing. If his hand stays up, you will win. Do your part. Which is where gossip is so horrible. Thank God that he spoke to me. And thank God I had the wisdom to redirect him. But if he had spoken to someone else, the person said, that's all we see him. You see, me too, I've been looking. I just said I shouldn't talk. I will say what's in my mind. He's only a fool that says what's in my mind. I've said my own. He's a fool. Stop it. connect to the wisdom of heaven. What is God saying? What is God saying? So we see the threefold, the dynamics here. We see the king, we see the prophet, and we see the priesthood. The king, eat and drink. It's as if the king is just a useless guy. He's just eating and drinking. No. He's playing a key role. Prophet, hands on the knee, just sitting down there, doing as if he's praying, forming spirit, you know. Say, prophet. Then the priesthood is pam, 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 going back and forth. We as believers, we have to understand that there are different dynamics at play. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to our lives, we are the embodiment of the three. We are the embodiment of kingship, of the prophetic, and of the priesthood. You, in your life, you have to eat and drink, you have to put your head down to pray, and you have to perform your priesthood duties. If you just want to eat and drink, trouble. If you just want to be praying, trouble. If you just want to be running up and down, kita, you know, you discover that kita or dollar, as in going up and down doesn't lead to anything. You're looking here, looking there, doesn't lead to anything. So you need to connect to the three. When you engage, which is why these seasons are so powerful. When we engage the prophetic, we pray until the rains drench us and the thunderstorms are here. We check, we do the things we need to do, we perform the priestly duties, and guess what? We still also work at the end. We eat and we drink. It is a combination as the believer. And that is the key, powerful key here for us. So as we learn this teaching, it says, go tell King Ahab to get his chariot ready and go home. Go where? Go home. Home is so significant here. It's so significant. Go home. Okay, just a few things. There's a lot. In fact, go home can be a series. Go home. There's a lot here. But key things. Go home, number one, means repent. Go home means, number one, Ahab, king, repent. You see, repentance is so powerful because the hand of the Lord is not shutting that he cannot save. Neither is his ears blocked that it cannot hear. The Bible says that your sins have separated between you and your God. Sin is a problem at any time. Anytime. To anybody. Sin is a problem. The answer and the solution to it is repent. Repent. Everyone needs to repent. Repent. And to repent is that you need to turn a new leaf. It's not just to confess. Every time you come to prayer, you say, Father, oh, forgive us, we are sinners, da-da-da-da-da. But you have no intention of turning a new leaf. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. Repent, when you repent, then the rain comes. As we see in Acts 3:19, Peter was saying to them, repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing in the presence of God. The presence of God is home. Go home. Go home means go into the presence of God. How do you become at home in the presence of God? By repenting. My brother, you need to repent. My sister, you need to repent. By repenting. Then when that happens, you are at peace. You are at home in the presence of God. Then you have seasons of refreshing. The word there was talking significantly about seasons of rain, seasons of dew, seasons of freshness, seasons of rain and an abundance. Go home means go and be at home in the presence of God, and that would mean repent. Repent. Go home also, number two, means relax. So you repent, relax, calm down. Relax, go home, be at home in the presence of God, and relax, and relax. Hebrews 4:3 says, now we will believe, we will have believed, enter that rest. There's a rest for the children of God. God wants you to enter that rest. He wants you to be at rest. Remember, we shared the last time that be still and know that He is God. Many times we are at home, but we are not at rest. To be at rest, you have to be still. To be still, we learned, is to what? Drop it. It's to drop it. Drop it. Drop it. Drop it, relax. Then repent, go home. Go home, be at home in God's presence, repent. Be at home in God's presence, relax. Be at home in God's presence, rejoice. Rejoice. Then Elisha said to Ahab, go, get something to eat and drink, for I hear the mighty rainstorm coming. Go, get something to eat and drink. Rejoice. They've been farming for so long. Rejoice. It's coming to an end. You have been going through a difficult patch for so long. Rejoice. It's coming to an end. You are experiencing the rain in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go home. Repent. Go home. Relax. Go home. Rejoice. So, we've come to a very, very crucial time in our fasting and waiting and praying. And God is saying, number one, go and look. Go and look. Number two, don't just look. Don't look everywhere and anywhere. Look towards the sea. What does that mean to you in your business? What does look towards the sea mean in your health? What does look towards the sea mean in your relationships? What does look towards the sea? What does it mean? Towards the sea. Then, when you've looked and you've looked towards the sea, what do you see? What do you see? I prophesy that you will not miss what you should see in the name of Jesus. And I decree that you will not miss and you will not dismiss that which pertains to your peace in the name of Jesus. So go, go look. What do you see? Don't miss it. What do you see? Don't dismiss it. Then go home. Go home. Go home. Repent. Go home. Relax. Go home, rejoice. It says, go tell Ahab to get his chariots ready. This Ahab guy has a problem, you know. Remember that Elijah started by telling him, go, go home, go and eat and drink. The guy was still sauntering around. Then he started praying. I mean, only God knows how long. That's seven times. He will go and check. I don't know how far away they are is from the sea. The servant will run to the sea. How many hours did it take him to come back? How many hours did it take him? I don't know. The man will get bow again, pray. That happened seven times. Ahab was still searching around. There are some people like that. They said, go and eat, go and eat, go and rejoice, go home. Go and plan. The rain is coming. You need to sow. Go and sow. They're not doing anything. Just sorting around. Go and take action. Go and get ready for the rain. They're not doing anything. Just sorting around. But by the time the servant came, I said, I see that feast. He said, boom, go and tell Ahab to get his chariots ready and go home when? Now. The urgency is in the now. Because if he doesn't, you know when he told him to go home for, the first time, he just said, go home. Take the word of the man of God. Go home. But now he's saying, if you don't go home, the rain will stop you. The rain will be a problem to you. I pray the rain will not stop you. The rain will not be a problem to you. You need to go home now. You need to go home when? Now. Now is the time to repent. Repent now. Now. So that the times of refreshings will come upon you. Repent of that sin now. Now. Now is the time to relax. Now is the time to rejoice. Now is the time to plan. Now is the time to prepare for the rain. If you need to get your buckets out, get your bucket out. If you need to put seed in the sand, in the soil, put seed in the ground. But do it now. You're like, Pastor, I need to repent now. I need to come to Jesus. I need to surrender my life to Him. And I want to do it now. If that is you, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Wherever you are, wherever you are, if that is you, put up your hand now over your head and we will pray with you in a bit. Put it up, put the hands up. I'm going to turn it over to the RP right now.